So, Marie-Pierre Gilbert, these are some questions really that arise from sort of the paper that you gave about Israeli folk dance. And the first question really relates to the relationship between art and politics. Based on the case study of Israeli folk dance, could you sort of give us some ideas of some of the key themes in that relationship between art and politics?
Yeah. One thing I would like to precise even before that is that the paper and the entire research is not simply on Israeli folk dance, but on the use of dance repertoires, creation, recreation, use, and so forth in Israel, which is slightly different because I'm not only looking at Israeli folk dance, but at other type of dances in Israel. So that's just one thing I wanted to make more precise. So dance and politics, or cultural practices and politics, I think the main thing which really came out of this research is this idea that it's a double situation where cultural practices not only represent political values or stance or challenge or recognitions, but also are used by the creators, the practitioners, the cultural producers, and so forth, in order to construct something. So there's this idea that it's not only representation, but a really a way to, in the case of dance, to embody a political thing. So this double thing of construction and representation, I think, is really the main thing. And this is, of course, comes in this situation, but for everything else, I think it's quite important.
I mean, one thing that really struck me about your paper, one thing I really liked, was its interdisciplinarity. And I was just wondering if you could sort of give us some thoughts on some of the advantages and the problems and the difficulties raised by such an interdisciplinary approach.
Yeah, okay, so in terms of interdisciplinarity, I think one of the main thing, when again I would like to really underline, is this idea that interdisciplinarity doesn't mean to do bits and pieces of everything. But for me, it's very important to be really rooted in one discipline, to really be, I consider myself as a social anthropologist who is also using techniques, the frameworks, analytical frameworks and tools of other disciplines in order to have a wider perspective of the object I'm looking at. So it's really this idea that you need to understand really what one discipline is about, and then both in discussing with other colleagues and looking at your object and thinking, well, what I need here to understand it better is to have a better historical point of view, social point of view, political point of view, to have a better take on what are the literacy or the oral practices yet, so to go into linguistic, social linguistic, and understand better. But this idea that interdisciplinarity is not just a bit of here and a bit of that, you really have to understand what's going on in each discipline and then see how they actually all cover the same object yet from different point of views. So that's...
So sort of an integrated approach rather than sort of pick and mix, really. Surely that is really time consuming though.
It is completely time consuming indeed. But on the other hand, it does feel a lot better, let's say, because you do have this feeling that you're not just cherry picking, and to come back to this discussion you had previously on this idea that in order to make an argument convincing, it's not just what you feel, but really how you built up an argument and how you actually realize that your analysis is not just reading too much into an object, is that if you actually come from those different perspectives and the linguistic perspective says something and the political perspective says kind of the same thing, and then the formal analysis of the body repertoire or of the dance form says pretty much the same thing, then you kind of can allow yourself to think, okay, maybe my argument and maybe my point is right, because all those different sources or angles are actually leading to the same idea. So this is, I think, this is one of the main thing of interdisciplinarity, is that we're all talking about the same thing, but if we look at it with different lenses, then we have a chance to actually understand things better and to be maybe more sure, not that you have the truth, but that your way of looking at things might make sense.
And certainly I imagine that demands a lot of intellectual honesty in the fact that you have to be prepared that you're going to be sort of constantly sort of remise en question. And again, this again what you were saying about the idea of sort of not looking for easy answers or not going out to sort of find out what you already know. In terms of your actually PhD yourself, you said that it came of actually your own experience of dancing yourself, of doing these sort of Israeli folk dances. And I was just wondering if you had sort of any insights into that sort of field work that you could share with us.
That's a tricky one. I think one of the fieldwork thing I would like to talk about here is not so much on me being as a practitioner of dance, but rather of who you are on the field and how you present yourself as a researcher and what this, which kind of things can arrive or arise. I remember one time I was working at that time with people in a moshav, which is basically a collective village in Israel, and I was invited there for Shabbat, which is the religious Saturday, the religious time. And what happened was that I didn't tell the people beforehand that I was not Jewish, because I just didn't. It wasn't the way I was presenting myself as a researcher. I would present myself as coming from France, working on specifically Yemenite Jews and their dance practices and so forth. But I never thought about saying if I was or not Jewish. And then I was invited for this specific Jewish festival or Jewish time by a family who was rather very religious or quite religious. And when I arrived to this place, it was Friday lunchtime, i.e. not very, few hours before the end of the bus traffic. So I was kind of stuck there. And then suddenly this family, or at least the lady of the family, realized, I can't remember how, but she just realized I was not Jewish. So she told me, but you're not Jewish, how are we gonna do this? And I told her, what do you mean, how are we going to do this? I mean, I know exactly what I can do and cannot do when I brought clothes in order to be modest and so forth. And she was very afraid that somebody in the village was going to discover that I was not Jewish. And so she kind of felt very uneasy. She told me, don't say anything, just do whatever I'm doing and so forth. And then at some point during the evening, before the ceremony itself, she told her son that I was not Jewish. And he started to laugh. And he said, but that's brilliant, mommy, because actually, you remember how it was in Eastern Europe when Jews had gentil or non-Jewish, maybe not servants, but people working for them and doing all the things that you're not allowed to do in Shabbat. So Marie can be our whatever gentil helpers. And because it was very cold that evening, the entire actually weekend was a big joke about me being able to open the light and me being able to actually put the heating on because we were frozen and so forth. So this idea, I mean, about being a researcher and thinking of how you're going to present yourself and not thinking about what is actually important for the people you're working with. So it takes us a bit far from dance, but that's really this field.
It's certainly a really good story, and it takes the idea of observer participants to another level, I think. Thank you very much.